Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 21, verse 17. Acts 21, verse 17. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses, so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality." Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled, and the offering presented for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another, and as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd, for the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him!" As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted the way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me, and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me, said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to every one of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to him, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, Yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. Paul said, But I am a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. So remember that on more than one occasion, Paul had been warned that if he came to Jerusalem, that he was going to end up being bound. Agabus even used his own belt to signify this for him. So he arrives at Jerusalem. He goes in to see James and the elders of the church that are there, and they decide that in order to quell what is being said about Paul, that he is not respecting the Mosaic law, that he should go and fulfill a vow with these four other men, which he agrees to go do. I want us to understand that under the New Testament law, this was not required, but he was respecting the traditions of the Jews in order to take away any barrier to preaching the gospel. So he goes and does this, but there are others that arrived that accused him of bringing Greeks into the temple and again accused him of teaching things which he had not. And so everybody gets into an uproar. There's a mob that's formed. They're beating him. And the tribune hears of this, bringing the soldiers down. This would have been a pretty dangerous situation. It was the tribune's job to keep the peace. And if some sort of a revolt happened, some sort of a riot happened, the blame would likely go to him. Of course, when he talks to Paul, you also find that there was an Egyptian who had stirred up a revolt, and he thought maybe that had come here, that this Egyptian had 4,000 men that had taken out into the wilderness. So that would have been a significant force for him to deal with if Paul was this Egyptian, but of course he is not. But he allows Paul to speak, and Paul speaks in Hebrew, so it gets the attention of the people, and they do listen for a good while. He talks about his upbringing. He talks about his origin. He talks about his teaching as far as being a Jew and also a Pharisee at the feet of Gamaliel. And then he recalls his confrontation by the Lord on his way to Damascus. He relates, you know, the question of why are you persecuting me? He relates that Jesus identified himself. He relates that he had lost his sight and he had to be led into the city. And he relates that Ananias came and restored his sight and that Paul was then baptized for the remission of sins. He also adds into this that those that were with him witnessed seeing a light, but they couldn't understand the voice that was speaking to Paul. Only Paul could understand that. Well, when he speaks of his mandate to go to the Gentiles, this stirs everybody up again. They get upset again, and the tribune brings him in, and he's going to beat a confession or beat the truth out of Paul. That's the idea that is here. But Paul identifies himself as a Roman citizen so that it is not lawful for him to be beaten without a trial. And so the end of our reading leaves off with this tribune being more than a little concerned that he has bound Paul, brought him in here, was about to beat him, and yet Paul was a Roman citizen. So that's where we're leaving off for today. But ask that you please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.